Hello, welcome to Slovak Ancestry, the podcast about genealogy, family history, and heritage. We are going to talk here with the people from all around the world with the connection to Slovakia and their interesting search for their ancestors. The more I am learning about the people that left, the more I think we should be aware of our roots and where we came from. My name is Michal Rázus, and this podcast is created with the support of podcast industry. It is a pleasure for me to welcome here today father and son, Joseph and Michael Kushnir. We will talk here today about how inspirational was Joe's grandfather, Joseph Kushnir, and he was a little mystery since they didn't really know until recently where he actually came from. Hello, Joe.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing excellent. I have my son, Michael, with me as well.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hello, Mike. It's good to hear you. Did you really woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning just to come here and to record the podcast?
4:30.
Yeah, that's nothing. Don't worry about that. I woke up 30 minutes earlier than we normally do for work.
Thank you very much. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm really very happy that we can share with the world and with the others your family history, because in my opinion, it's really very exciting and definitely inspiring. Who was the first person that came from Slovakia, and what do you know about him or about them? And what was their story?
Well, of course, that would be my grandfather, Joseph. And he came here in 1903. He was born in 1886, so he was 17 years old. He came over on his own by himself. I spoke to my grandfather many times as a little child, and he never really gave any details as to why he came. Like a lot of Europeans, they came for several reasons, some good, you know, some they had to. But in his case, he was a very gentle giant. He was a very hardworking man, and always have two jobs. He worked for Otis Elevator for 38 years, and almost the same amount of years he had a full-time job running the hospital up in Hastings, New York, as the kitchen supervisor. He was very successful. He owned a three-family home, which is unprecedented for somebody who came over with nothing. Three-family brick home in Yonkers. He supposedly had the first RCA TV in the city of Yonkers, and I believe there was something in a newspaper about that. Because when he walked past the factory, past the village, which he called Getty Square, which is what was in the center of Yonkers, he put a deposit on this set because he heard it was coming out. And he bought the first TV set. I was told he always had a brand new Buick. After a couple of years, you buy a brand new one. He sent his wife and his daughter and my father on vacations while he worked. So he was obviously a very hardworking person, a very opportunistic person, and he was my idol. He made my life, as it is today, hopefully I'm going to say successful, because we own a business, and I won't go into that end of that story, but I actually dedicate everything I do to a person like him, because he was the person I always looked up to. But again, so to answer it, he was a person that came here with family values. He was the beginning of our family here. And I won't jump to an answer that you're probably going to ask, how we found out where he came from, which is an amazing story. And I would have to turn that over to my son, Michael, because I had no idea till I was 68 years old in 2018. I had no idea that I was Slovakian. I knew I was of Yugoslavian or some kind of Slavic, but never zeroed it in, never knew, never was told. We needed some expert like yourself. But it started out with me telling my son that I would like to go back after all these years. And I retired at the time. And I asked my son and his wife to please look it up.
I will ask maybe one more question about your grandfather before we can switch it to Michael. Where did he come at very beginning when he came to United States?
Well, as the story goes, he landed in, he came on a Hungarian ship, and as all the immigrants that came up, I believe it was Ellis Island, but he ended up, I guess, coming up the Hudson River. The Hudson River is a main connection for, you know, the city of Yonkers. And there's a pier that Otis Elevator, Elijah Graves Otis, started his factory right along that river. And ironically, that's where he started working. But I believe that as a young man, he had nothing and just found jobs painting for European people that he knew in the section of Yonkers that, you know, the Polish and Hungarian and Russian and, you know, German and, of course, Slovakian people congregated and spoke the language. He himself spoke at least four and possibly more languages, and he read all the papers every day. I mean, he got foreign papers. He was very interested in what was going on. So, but that's where he landed, and that's where he started his life in Yonkers, New York. We really had a sketchy view of if his parents were alive when he came over here. We did not know that. We, as a matter of fact, my mom, who was not Slovakian, she was Italian. She used to say, you know, when I married your dad, because he passed at a very young age, my father. My grandfather lived till like 87. But she would always say that Pop came over here by himself, and he really didn't have mother and father. I guess he had siblings that were left behind.
And I remember you told me one very nice story, and I'm not exactly sure if I remember it properly. You were applying for your job, and there was some foreman that remembered your grandfather or something like that.
Oh, my God. Thank you for bringing that up. I started working, again, my mom out of high school said, why don't you go down to Otis? Because your grandfather worked there for 38 years. Your father worked there for 30. He actually passed away before he retired. So I said, okay, Mom. I didn't really, you know, wasn't crazy about what my career was, which direction I was going. So I went there. I worked in the Otis factory winding coils, field coils for the armatures in the World Trade Center here in New York City. And for a year, I was working at that. And all of a sudden, there was a strike. And the strike was Local 1, which was the people that construct and install the elevators that all the elevator companies build. It's a construction union. And I was getting laid off because when they strike the plant, no material was coming in. So I had no job. And my foreman told me, hey, listen, why don't you go down to the union hall and see if you can get a job with those guys, because they have a great pension, they have a great annuity, they have good benefits, they make a lot, you know, a great salary. So I went down there on a blind. I didn't know anyone down there. And I went up to the second floor of the union hall and knocked on the window, and it was a cigar smoking guy answered it. His name was Andy Bazone. I still remember that from almost 50 years ago, 1969. And at that time, I said to him, I was down there to fill out an application. So he said to me, well, okay, you know, we're on strike, son. I said, yes, I do. He said, well, listen, fill out your name, and maybe after the strike, you'll get hired. Make sure you put your two sponsors down. So I said, sponsors? He goes, yeah, that's two active members in, you know, in good standings that are Local 1 constructors. So I said, well, I really don't know any Local 1 constructors. I worked in the factory. My grandfather and father worked up there in Yonkers for Otis. He said, son, you have to understand, we're not Otis. We're Local 1 constructors. So we don't hire that way. You have to have sponsors into this union. So I said, well, I really don't have any. So he goes, listen, you came down here, put your name down on this application. And if you happen to find two guys that'll sponsor you in, come on back. As I was writing my name, like a miracle, the business agent walked in, who later became president the next year. He was a business agent at the time. Walked in and said, Andy, the strike is over. It's being ratified at 1 o'clock. Andy was, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. As he said that, he looked at my name upside down. He took the name, turned it around. He goes, wait a minute, did you say your grandfather worked in the Yonkers factory? I said, yeah, was Joe a big guy? He said, he was my foreman. He was the best man I've ever worked for in my life. He said, you know what? That's your grandfather? He says, come over here, Vinny. Sign this little guy into the union. His grandfather was the best person I ever met. So that's how I got my whole successful career. And it has been, thank God, knock on wood, pretty successful. And as I was walking down the stairs, I was actually in tears looking up and saying, Gramp, you actually helping me from the grave. To me, that was the most amazing thing, because he was the person that paid our rent when my dad couldn't. He was the one that gave us Christmas gifts when my family couldn't afford it. He was the person that I looked up to and loved more than anybody in this world. And to this day, I feel the same way. I mean, there's nobody touched my life more than him.
Maybe now we can switch it to Michael, son of Joe. And because you was the one, right, that find out where the family, where the Kushner family actually came from. So tell us a little bit more about it.
Sure. Well, I'd love to say it was just me, but my wife had helped a lot, and she really pushed it more than anything. But my father had kept telling me that he wanted to look up the information for his grandfather. And we had kept hitting brick walls for years trying to figure out where he came from and how it happened. And so what we did was, my wife and I said, listen, we have some time. Why don't we look this up for this guy? He keeps telling me. And I said, yeah, by this guy, I mean my father. I said, why don't we look it up? Because he really, really wants to know. And I think that this is something that would really be full circle for him. And I think there's really not much more he could be happy about other than to be able to walk the streets of where his grandfather lived, which had been promised to him by his grandfather before he had passed away. And at that point, my dad's mom would not let him go because he was so young. My father's mother wouldn't be going. So she didn't want him taking a flight or a ship over there. But he was going to reintroduce him to where he was from. And I would obviously assume he'd be going to Slovakia and walk the streets. So that was important to my grandfather, because he wanted to bring my dad. And I think he saw a little bit of himself in my dad, and a lot of himself into my father, more than what he probably saw into his son, my dad's dad. And I think that he saw that work ethic and everything, and he wanted to bring him back to that country. So my dad was young, so the Slovakia really never came up. The names, the country of it, I mean, I don't believe it was even, at that point, it was probably Czechoslovakia, but where certain areas, but you would know a lot better in the 1903 time frame. But so we started looking it up, and my dad had kept telling us, let's do it, let's, you know, keep looking it up. So we did. So at first we found a draft card for World War II. We had a World War I draft card, but the World War II one was probably the most important one, because I was able to see what year he was born. That was really hard to find. My dad had estimates. So, well, we guesstimates kind of thing. But then when I found this draft card, which I believe I found or my wife found. So this is going to be, this whole story is going to be most likely my wife found, and I'm taking all the credit for it. But we were really working on this hand in hand. So we had researched on Ancestry.com. There was a bunch of websites. I think FamilySearch.org. There was a bunch of different companies we used. But when we found that draft card, it had said where he lived, who his wife was, that he worked for Otis Elevator. So we said, great, this is the guy that we're looking for, and this is exactly him. From that, we actually found the pseudo kind of spelling of his name that he was using. He had added a Y before the I. And in this country, I don't know if that was something from just a crossover when he had come to this country, of how they changed the spelling. But there was a added letter to his name compared to where we were going. So we actually had more information then, because we could see if he was using some sort of any other name, which had come up once or twice. So it came up in the marriage certificate that he had filed. He had gotten married in January 20th, 1912. This was going through Ancestry.com. And what we had found on that one was on there was that we had his spouse. We had his name, and I had sent you all this information from our first time we spoke. It was, the marriage date was January 2, 1912. His age was around 25. The biggest thing out of that was that we had received his mother's name. That's what it was written down on there. And his mother was Annie. Can't really pronounce the last name, but it starts with a P. So we kind of had something to work with there on the name of his mother, really, more than anything. The next thing that we had found, this is the big thing. This was the number one winner. This was something I will 100% say my wife found through one of the searches. Somehow this Ancestry.com has a copy of the Slovakian church and synagogues from 1592 to 1910. And with that last, the spelling of that last name, Kusnyir, we were able to go and find his baptismal report, though. That's really what we were looking for. And in there, it said Zupkany Prezov Slovakia. And it had his father's name, which I was assuming it was close to Michael, yeah. Which is what I was told, that that's who I was named after, my great-grandfather's father. And then the mother's name was the same. It was Anna, and the last name starting with a P, always spelled a little bit different. So we had gone through it, and we'd found that all those items kind of matched. And from there, I could just tell you right now, that's where we stopped. Because I have, the next thing I did was on July 18, 2018, I had emailed you, Michael, and this is what I said. I'm looking to see if I can receive help on finding information on my great-grandfather. Name is Joseph Louis Kushner, with many records under different names. And I use the two different spellings. He was born on March 21st, 1886, and immigrated and lived his life in Yonkers, New York, USA in the early 1900s. I found some records online that may be in relation to him. His father's name was Michael Kushner. We think we have narrowed it down to where he was baptized in Zupkany Prezov. Please let me know if you can help at all in the research. Here are all the records that I found. And basically what I had just spoken with you, the only other record that I have, which is another big one, is the ship that he came over. And it was out of Germany. Had taken off in 1903. So we had him on the ship too. And in there, we had found that it said that he was from Ksaros, S-A-R-O-S. And that it had taken off from Germany and had landed in Southampton, New York. Not meaning that that's exactly where he immigrated into. But from there, you took the ball and you ran. And that's where I have emails back and forth where you had were able to go to the actual church. I mean, all the unbelievable things that you did.
Yes, it was definitely exciting for me, this research, because always it is like a little detective game that you are just collecting the puzzles and you are trying to put them on the correct place and make a complete picture, or at least picture that will make sense. And you definitely provided me with a lot of very good information, so you did a wonderful job with your research. And there is the thing that you found there, the place of origin is Kisharos, which is in Hungarian actually, because back in those days Slovakia was the part of Austria-Hungary. The today's present name of this village is Mali Sharish, and it's just like a suburb of Prešov, or a village very close to it. And when I found out that your father with his brothers are coming, I of course wanted to try to provide them a chance to meet with the family that was lost for the generations, basically. And I was trying to call some people, and you know, based on the surnames, and I was just doing more and more research. And it was really funny coincidence, because I called to one lady that I thought she could be related, and it turned out that she is the colleague of my wife. Both are the teachers on the high school here in Prešov. So from this moment it became easy and even more friendly and familiar, because we had somebody here to help us. So it's really great. But we can now maybe again switch the words to your father, so he can speak about his maybe expectations, or about what he was thinking when he was coming here.
Sure.
Michael, I want to say, and I can't, you know, even express it as much as how I really feel, how grateful I am. And like Michael used the words, you took the ball. Let me tell you, you not only took the ball, you put it right in the net. I mean, it was just, I didn't know what to expect. I never, ever went to that section of the world. You opened up a whole new world for me. And again, I did this at 68 years old, not as a young man. I went through my entire life wanting to know and having that hunger to know where my grandfather walked the streets. I was like 9 or 10 years old when I sat on his lap, when, like Michael said, he mentioned to my mom he wanted to take me back to where he walked the streets. And she said, "Pop, you come over here on a boat. You've never been on a plane." You know, he was, I think, in his 80s. He was getting old. And she said, "No, I'm not going to let him go. I'll never see my son again." So that kind of closed the door on that. And I could see he had that desire by the look in his eyes. But again, imagine going to a foreign country. You do not speak the language. You cannot communicate. You don't know how to read a sign. You can't rent a car. You don't know, you know, the streets or the highways. Very scary. And it was like finding you was like a godsend. I must have told you the whole week we spent was a wonderful experience. You're a wonderful person, Michael. I have to say that.
Thank you. It's really great to hear.
You opened up that whole world for me. It's like, it's priceless to say you can go over to a country that you've never been to in your life and have a person that not only knows that territory, can find your history, can find people that are related to you, but also translates. That's, to me, was amazing. The communication, it could have never happened. I could have not, me, my brother, whoever, could have never wandered into a country, went into a place that we don't speak the language. And just, you know, from day one, from the time we sat down to have coffee, you communicated with me and my brother Lenny. I felt, listen, I'm amazed at everything that's going on here. You took me to Mali Shadish, the town hall. We went up to the other place that had more records, went through the Kushnerova, the woman in our family, you know, who married other people. That was amazing how we even found that. I appreciate that. It's hard to find out from a woman's side when they change their name to a man's name, looking up at their history.
Yes, it was a little bit puzzling because there are the girls that stayed here and they just had another daughter. So we had to figure out who did they marry and what were their husband's name. But once we got on the correct trace, it was just like an avalanche. And we were finding more and more relatives and all these people were very welcoming and everybody wanted to meet you. So you were like a celebrity and we definitely had a great time while your visit was here.
We had a wonderful time. I was able to see exactly where my grandfather's home was. I met a 90-year-old person who was one of my cousins, who she spoke very little, but she pointed to a garden. That garden is where the house stood that my grandfather was born in. I took dirt. Well, I can't show you, but I have a bottle here. I bought this bottle. I bought four of them, actually, all my children, myself, and I put the dirt from that garden in a Slovakia bottle with a cork on it. I think my grandfather looking down would have a huge smile on his face and be happy that we did that. The thing that I was amazed at is when you took me up to the church that my grandfather was christened, baptized in. It was a church that was still standing, but rebuilt four times. There was a baptismal fountain still there, that was something like 400 years old, if I'm right, if I'm correct. And it was where my grandfather, Joseph, was baptized over that fountain. Now, as Michael said, my grandson, his son, Joseph, was born a couple of months before we traveled over there. And he was going to soon be baptized when we got home to the United States. And we bought a cross in Slovakia, a gold cross with a chain. And I asked the priest, would he please bless this cross? And he said, absolutely. He said, and this cross will bless on over the baptismal fountain. I could add my whole entire life looking up to my grandfather, wondering where I came from, wondering how I'd ever find out after he passed. I became a man. I started my own family. I tried to give the same family values that he gave to me and showed me without speaking about it. I just saw his actions. And today, I can proudly say that I had a person like you that gave me that opportunity. Because without people like you and what you do and how you did it and how wonderful it was to meet you and the type of person you are. And you took me and my brother around. You drove us. You chauffeured us. You took us to places to eat. But more importantly, you showed me a family that I never knew I had, that we're still in contact with, that my son, Joseph, who has three children, that my son, Michael, who has one right now, and will be able to know. They'll be able to see that family tree. They'll be able to go back to that country. And it's just amazing. It started out with zero, And it ended up with, like you say, the floodgate opening up. It's a perfect way to put it. It was just amazing how it all happened.
It's always a big pleasure for me if I can see that family is standing on such a good and solid root and on the hard work of their ancestors. And then when we are able to connect and multiply the new benches or branches of the tree, and your family is a beautiful example of it, that it doesn't have only the strong deep roots, but with connection here in Slovakia, it's even bigger. So that was really a wonderful experience for me as well.
People that I met over there, Gabriella, Peter, are so successful in their life. These people are all civil engineers. It's amazing. I have professional people over there that every single one of them, you might find that you're not too happy about what you found out. I couldn't be more happy. I met people that were extremely successful, loving. The children did very well. And they one's a priest. One of the girls go to colleges. They're in the opera. They sing. They do this and that. But they're all successful. My children actually talk about going over there and wanting to maybe, who knows, maybe live over there. It's a whole new world that we have that we never knew we had. But now we do. So now we can go forward.
Well, thank you very much for finding the time and to answer all my questions and to recall the good times we had on our trip. And I definitely hope to see you again live in Slovakia.
No, thank you, Michael. It was always a pleasure.
Okay, goodbye.
Nice bye
now. Yeah, bye now.
That was all for today, and I am looking forward to you next week. You were listening to Slovak Ancestry podcast with Michal Rázus, created with the support of Podcast Industry. You can find us at Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast. If you have an interesting family story and you would like to share it, feel free to contact me via email in the description.